Good morning. We'll call this meeting of the Cultural Diversity Committee to order. Could I have a roll call, please?
Chair Lieberman?
Present.
Vice Chair Moran? Regent Carter?
Here.
Regent Carvalho?
Here.
Regent McAdoo? Regent Perkins?
Here.
You have a quorum present.
Thank you very much. We'll move into public comment. We'll start with public comment in Las Vegas. Any public comment in Vegas? Seeing none, any public comment in Elko?
No public comment from Elko.
Thank you. Any public comment here in Reno? Seeing none, we'll move on to approval of minutes for possible action. Is there a motion or any discussion? Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Council for information only. Yvonne?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone's still spread out, so I'll keep trying to track this way back and forth. For the record, Yvonne Allen, Program Manager for Equity, Inclusion, and Sustainability at TMCC. And for this last meeting, the Chair of the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Council for ENCHI. I'm very excited to give you an update. Our last report from EDIC for the CDC was at the end of 2018, so we've got a lot going on. We've had a very action-oriented items. We've been had some in-depth conversations, and we've been specifically analyzing some on-campus policy in our last couple meetings. On January 11th, we held our annual EDIC retreat. This was at the DRI Las Vegas campus. It included the ENCHI diversity officers. Thank you, Regent Lieberman and Chancellor Riley, for your attendance and facilitating roundtable discussions with us. It was really important for the diversity officers to be able to have that face-to-face time with you. We had a lot of discussion about the diversity officer structure. We realized that all of our institutions, the office makeup, the position, and the reporting structure of the diversity officer is very different. So we hope in the next year to be able to present to all of you sort of what that looks like, how it differs, and some suggestions to make some consistency across all the different campuses. I want to give a special thank you to Chris Haynes for the help organizing this, and thank you to Joy Holiday and Michael Flores, I saw him somewhere, for coming and helping us facilitate all this dialogue. The in-depth notes from this retreat are attached in your agenda packet if you want to see really specifically what we talked about. One of the biggest takeaways is that we want it to be known that we want ENCHI to utilize EDIC as a sounding board for initiatives, programs, and information. This is a group that meets once a month, and we are the subject matter experts in this field. We would like to be utilized as this as well. We want to thank Chancellor Riley for including us in the planning of the Closing the Achievement Gap Summit. We hope that this continues to be the trend, both with the Chancellor's office and with the board. We really can be used for policy reviews, best practice updates, and anything else that may be needed from a diversity officer's lens. As you may remember, those of you that were here at the last CDC meeting, we had a preferred name resolution for EDIC. And I'm very happy to say that this has resulted in direct action. So the ENCHI Admissions and Records Directors within the Community College Shared Instance has approved the first name preferred name option. So we're very, very excited about that. It's currently with System Computing Services. Currently, right now, we're planning a September 2019 launch. I know at TMCC, we had a meeting with our diversity office, IT, Web College, and Admissions and Records to establish a timeline for this rollout and everything that really needs to change. So we're very excited to be sort of catching up to the universities on being able to provide this option for all students. Now, with the Closing the Achievement Gap Summit, I know that the Chancellor will be giving an in-depth report on what happened with this, but we really want to thank the System Office for allowing EDIC to be on the Planning Committee. We were able to give input on the presentations and speakers. Joy Holiday with the System Office really was able to step up and helped us facilitate getting everyone there, travel plans, everything of that sort. And with having these discussions about the achievement gap, EDIC hopes that it's understood that each institution works every day to serve historically underserved populations. These are the ones that we track and the ones also that we don't necessarily track. We strive to be equitable and inclusive colleges that prepare our students for excellence and to be responsible citizens. This is why the efforts of the campus diversity officer is paramount, especially with closing the achievement gap. Our most recent undertaking as the Equity, Diversity, Inclusion Council is the Policy for Information and Communications Technology. This is in the Board of Regents handbook. It was effective as of 2017. It reads that ENSHE is committed to providing information and communication technology based on, that has been developed, procured, or utilized to be accessible to all, and in particular, to individuals with disabilities, including those who use assistive technologies. So this is written in the handbook, and it also states that each institution will develop our own policies, and this includes the procurement of softwares from third-party vendors. Okay. So we, as a system, we all talked about all of our different policies, and for lack of time, I know I only have like 10 minutes, so I'm talking real fast. But I won't go into all of them, but most of our institutions are compliant with this policy. What EDIC would like to suggest is institutional presentations on our policies, our on-campus procedures, and compliance for ICT accessibility from each of the institutions. We understand that even with the CDC only meeting every other meeting, this may need to be a Board of Regents general agenda item, which we would be very interested in entertaining as well. So as I stated at the beginning, with our EDIC chair rotation, my term is currently ending after this meeting, July 1, and the incoming chair will be Dr. Edith Fernandez from Nevada State College. She'll be taking over July 1st, 2019. With her expertise, and she actually has the historical knowledge of when EDIC was written into the Board of Regents handbook and when this committee was actually created, so I know it's going to be a very productive, very great year for all of us. And then there, just so you know, on this slide, there is a correction. For the 2021 year, that will actually be a UNLV Southern Chair year. And so I want to thank everyone for a wonderful year as the EDIC Chair. As the EDIC Chair, we had a lot of epic selfies, if you all remember, from our different times here. I thank you all for your support, your guidance, and a lot of your mentorship. I will continue to be the TMCC representative on diversity issues for EDIC, so we'll still be around. I'll still be presenting to you, but this will be my last official meeting as chair. And at this time, I would love to entertain any questions you might have for us.
Thank you very much for your leadership of EDIC. Thank you very much for partnering with us as a system with the achievement gap issues. And thank you for the wonderful work that you do at TMCC every day. Is there any questions or comments from the board members?
Getting off easy for my last meeting. Look at that.
If not, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
ENSHE Hispanic Serving Institution Task Force, HSI, for information only. Clarissa, are you around?
I am up.
Perfect.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair Lieberman, regents, presidents, institutional colleagues and guests. My name is Clarissa Cota. I serve as the ENSHE HSI Task Force as well as work for CSN. And this morning, it's my pleasure to share the work of the ENSHE HSI Task Force, which has been in place since 2014, and all of our institutions are represented, and we meet on a monthly basis right before the EDIC meetings. The HSI Task Force for ENSHE, the purpose of it has been a system-wide approach in supporting the ENSHE institutions regarding HSI initiatives, strengthening our alliances with state and national partners, becoming more competitive for federal grants, as well as aligning our institution to these best practices that we're learning about, which is going to be promoting an environment of student success in terms of our policy, climate, and programming. Four of our seven institutions are now HSIs, with GBC, UNR, and WNC closely, they're right around the corner becoming HSIs. Nevada is recognized as the only state to have a unified HSI task force, and that note has not gone unnoticed by our national partners. We leverage together our networks and our partnerships, and an example of what that benefit is this upcoming September in 2019, all of our institutions are going to be attending the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine for their first convening to advance opportunities for Latinx researchers. This resulted in a partnership between the HSI Task Force, the American Association of Hispanics in Higher Education, and ENSHE supported these efforts, and the systems office had agreed to pay the registration costs for our institutions to attend, which is a tremendous opportunity for our institutions. Our task force also communicates system-wide and makes recommendations and advocates to our government officials. In this past April of 2019, I was able to represent at the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities, the Capitol Forum. I would like to thank also Michael Flores and Joy Holiday from the systems office to facilitate the ability to visit with all seven of our congressional offices and meet with our members and meet with their staff to speak about the efforts that are ongoing at ENSHE and talking about closing the achievement gaps and the importance of continued federal funding for these efforts to come to Nevada. And so those are in terms of Title V, the NSF HSI program, Title III, and so forth. The HSI Task Force was also part of the Closing the Achievement Gap Summit that just occurred in April. And so we were able to bring in Deborah Santiago, who's the executive director of the group that is called Excellencia in Education. She was speaking to us in terms of the importance of setting goals and metrics at our institutions. And their organization actually has a certification for institutions who are intentionally serving Latino students based on leadership, evidence-based practices, and the use of data, which is called the Seal of Excellencia. And currently, the HSI Task Force is looking at that type of certification. This work must continue. Nevada ranks fifth in the country for having the highest percentage of Hispanics at 28%. Our K-12 system is over 40% Hispanic. Our ENSHE institutions collectively serve over 28% Hispanic students, and four of the seven institutions are HSIs. Yet our graduation rates for Hispanic students is at 29%, with overall graduation rates at 35%, and that is without disaggregating by department and program of study. So this morning, I want to leave you with an invitation and a save the date. So on October 3rd, we are planning an HSI convening that Regent Lieberman had mentioned in his opening remarks. And we want to bring together our elected officials, our community stakeholders, our national organizations, and ENSHE partners to discuss the alignment of HSI and MSI initiatives on our campuses and provide an orientation to these efforts to our partners, provide opportunities to leverage these partners in regards to federal funding. And so we are planning this event to proceed and be the evening of or the afternoon of before the Southern Nevada Diversity Summit. So again, it's on October 3rd, 2019. We will be hosting it at the CSN North Las Vegas campus. So I hope to see all of you there, and I would like to thank you this morning for your time and your attention, and I'm happy to take any of your questions.
First of all, thank you for bringing Edict HSI and this committee much closer together. We are now working together seamlessly, and that is fabulous. And thank you for creating the concept of the HSI Summit, which will bring our vision and our mission to the outside community, and interactions will flow from there in a great way. So thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments from the committee? Everybody's getting off very easy this morning.
Thank you very much.
We'll move on to item number 6, Enchi Northern Nevada Diversity Summit. Information only if Patricia's here to give a report.
Thank you very much.
Can we? We're losing you, so. Can people hear?
Now, was it back?
Yep.
All right, thank you. For the record, I'm Patricia Richard, Chief of Staff for President Johnson at the University of Nevada, Reno. And on behalf of the many committee members and sponsors who worked diligently to organize the 2019 Northern Nevada Diversity Summit, I am pleased to present the summary of Building Bridges in a Changing World. I want to acknowledge our fellow NSHE institutions who sponsored the summit, Truckee Meadows Community College, Desert Research Institute, Western Nevada College, and Great Basin College. I also want to thank three very important university entities that stepped forward with sponsorships, the Graduate Student Association, the Associated Students of the University of Nevada, and the Joe Cowley Student Union. The Graduate Student Association kicked off the Diversity Summit with the 4th annual Unity in Diversity on Wednesday evening, and the event featured music and dancing from a number of ethnic groups, including the Reno Sparks Indian Colony Powwow Native American Dance Club. It was a night to remember. It was fabulous colors and music throughout the evening. As part of the Diversity Summit activities, the Cultural Diversity Committee hosts a student speech competition. It's open to all undergraduate and graduate students attending a Nevada System of Higher Education institution. And this year's competition asks students to answer this question: what is your greatest challenge in regards to equity and diversity within higher education? And what is your vision for change? The winner of this year's competition was Edward Havori, a junior working on his degree in international business at the University of Nevada, Reno, and he opened the summit with the first speech. The keynote speaker was Rabbi Sarah Zober from Reno's own Temple Sinai. Rabbi Zober is a longstanding ally and safe space creator for the LGBT plus communities and a diversity advocate. She has built her reputation on building bridges between diverse communities. And Rabbi Zober discussed building bridges in faith communities. Her message was clear and concise. She summarized it in one sentence: that which is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. She talked about the stereotypes of the Jewish population and the Jewish faith. She encouraged attendees to get to know the Jewish community and to help combat anti-Semitism. She emphasized being an ally to Jews and an ally to marginalized communities. Her message was powerful and particularly relevant in today's world. The Associated Students of the University of Nevada, Reno brought journalist Noor Tagori to close out the Diversity Summit. She spoke on the influencing impact through storytelling and innovation. This year's summit overall included more than 30 presentations in multiple formats. More than 400 people attended the summit, and there were more than 20 presentations throughout the day. The majority of the attendees were University of Nevada, Reno faculty, staff, and students, followed by our colleagues from across the NSHE institutions and the community. The general attendance at the summit has been approximately 400 people for the last 5 years. We did have a dip in 2017. I don't think that was programming. I think it had to do with the snow and blizzard conditions on that day. So overall, 66% of the attendants had been to the Diversity Summit in the past. We're pleased that they continue to come. And 90% of the respondents who took the survey said that the summit increased their cultural competency. So we're pleased with those results. And just so you're ready to attend the 2020 summit, please mark your calendars. It is Thursday, April 2nd. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Patricia, thank you for your work as diversity coordinator on the UNR campus. Thank you for your work with this summit. We are going to spend special focus, preparing for the next summit to reach out to some people that may not have been getting the marketing that maybe they could have at previous summits, residential life students, student government and student organizations. We're just trying to expand the pot and the diversity of the people that attend the summit, and that's always a good goal. Are there any questions or comments from the committee in general? Seeing none.
Regent Lieberman, may I take it? It's a point of personal privilege. I want to thank my colleagues, the diversity officers from across NSHE. They collaborate continuously, and we recently had we were in need. The University of Nevada Reno was in need of a location in Southern Nevada to have a meeting with the family. The family was located close to the CSN Charleston campus, and I want to thank Maria Marinch for her work in organizing a presentation. They opened their doors to us and made it so incredibly easy that I have to say thank you to my colleagues who do that every day.
Thank you. Item number 7, staying on our host campus, diversity and equity in the College of Liberal Arts at UNR, a presentation for information only, and Datu Jen Hill, Director of the Gender, Race, and Identity Program and Associate Professor of English, will make the presentation. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be presenting today. University of Nevada, Reno is very fortunate, I believe, to have on its campus a center in the GRI program that is nationally unique and gaining a lot more national recognition, as my recent experience at the National Women's Studies Association meeting proved, where I gave a presentation, much like this one, and have been invited to speak to national leadership about a model of how things can work in cooperation across units at universities. So I'm delighted to be presenting today on our program. So the larger context is familiar to all of us, I think, in that at the missions of the NSHE level, at our institutional level, and at our college level, diversity, equity, inclusion, serving all of Nevada and all of Nevadans, are always at the center of these missions. Here in the College of Liberal Arts, we have a small footprint and a large impact. It's an innovative program that combines research, teaching, programming, outreach, and cooperation across a lot of units. Our research areas listed here include gender and sexuality, borderlands, migration, Latinx studies, and indigenous studies. We have some of the most research productive and recognized faculty in the college and arguably on campus, with national and international fellowship and award winners. Our students thrive and are also very successful. We house a variety of programs, including religious studies, ethnic studies, Latinx studies, women's studies. We have a GRI major that is presently has a women's studies concentration, but will be launching ethnic studies and comparative gender, race, and identity concentrations as well in short order. Our achievements are many, as I said. On the horizon, we have new concentrations, which will be on the next slide, and I hope I'm sort of moving through my presentation quickly, but that's because these materials are available to you. We're especially excited about some new grant-funded community-based research collaborations with the Latino Research Center and its new director, Dr. Julie Lucero, with Public Health, and also with the Southwest Institute for Research on Women at the University of Arizona, which is serving sort of both as a partner and a model to us. I want to bring your attention to the challenges that we face a little bit, and I think this is more broadly, we are We are thriving with the support and dedicated commitment of Dr. Deborah Mottlemog, the Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Provost Kevin Carman, and President Mark Johnson, but along with many of the sort of units that echo us around the system. There's a bit of resource scarcity sometimes, but particularly to me are some student issues that sometimes get neglected in discussions about curriculum, programming, and recruitment and retention. And I would draw your attention to, you know, poverty and student loans, the rise of incivility in classrooms, and student discomfort with some Title IX transparency issues across all of our campuses in NSHE. I bring that up because GRI, as a teaching center as well as a research center, trains future leaders and future business people and social leaders of our state and of our region, and these issues are very central to them, and I've been asked to bring their voice to this informational session to tell you that they would like some representation in this committee as well. This slide is just an overview of the courses and programs we offer. What's interesting is how quickly the terrain in research and curriculum surrounding equity, diversity, and inclusion issues changes. We are a provider of service courses that meet the core objective for diversity and equity. We also offer majors and minors listed there. The new major concentrations that I already discussed include ethnic studies, a comparative GRI major, and then we're looking at Latinx studies for the near future, which should help with HSI status pursuit. We also have, we're proposing new minors in Indigenous studies, Latinx studies, disability studies, and comparative race and identity as well. This year we're launching a new MA. We have 4 students enrolled. And we offer a graduate certificate that helps us recruit and retain a diverse population of graduate students from across the region who are doing PhDs and masters and other programs. I'll finish up here, really, to just talk about how important sort of a curricular footprint for issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion is to our campus. That final bullet point on this slide, where we prepare students to be engaged, flexible, critically literate citizens who might pursue a range of careers, is really at the source, at sort of the root of what we do. And I am contacted weekly, particularly this time of year, by employers in the region asking, you know, do I have leads on students who have cultural competency, who can lead trainings, who can become leaders in their companies. Often I think some of us of a certain age tend to think of things like women's studies and ethnic studies as not really having careers attached to them. That has changed immensely over the last 10 years. This is sort of the center of what it is we're doing as a nation. Diversity and equity are the central social, political, and economic issues of the day. NSHE and its institutions will fulfill, you know, their missions and also just alter the state by preparing leaders in these fields, and that requires a concentrated coming together, not just of sort of checking boxes and doing our best, but really making these things the center of our research, of our curriculum, and of our service. Thank you.
Thank you. Your programs are so substantive and involve so many students, future alumni, and the community, and I think it's a great start and a great beginning, and I wish you a great deal of luck. Is there any comments or questions from the committee members?
Thank you very much.
Come on, guys. Somebody else has to get on the minutes besides me.
It's
Thank you very much. We'll move on to number 8, Nevada State College Office of Community Engagement and Diversity Initiatives for information only. Amy.
For the record, Amy Avaluna, Program Manager, Office of Community Engagement and Diversity Initiatives, Nevada State College.
For the record, Laura Obrist, Academic Advisor at Nevada State College.
Chancellor, Presidents, and Board Members, thank you for inviting me back to speak with you today and report on efforts of our college's Diversity and Inclusion Task Force. Now in its 5th year, the task force addresses equity by empowering employees from all over campus to lead committees that address issues they're dedicated to. I'm excited to introduce you to one such leader today, Laura. By empowering individuals like Laura, CEDI is able to extend the reach and scope of our departments.
As Amy said, I'm Laura Obrist, and I'm an academic advisor at Nevada State. I'm also the chair of the subcommittee serving students who are at risk of homelessness and or current or former foster youth. I formed the subcommittee because I spent 6 years prior to coming to Nevada State supporting those students in the Bay Area in achieving their post-secondary education goals. Next slide, please. Once I got to NSC, I noticed that we have similar needs and that Nevada has only recently begun to address those. So I wanted to bring folks together to better support a system for students who are struggling with housing insecurity and or a lack of familial support. These overlapping populations of students are often invisible, but they are increasingly enrolling in Clark County School District and the NSHE institutions. We need to better understand their needs to support graduation rates. Nevada ranks number one in the nation for unaccompanied homeless youth. Clark County has about 3,000 children in foster care at any given time. The number of homeless youth enrolled in the Clark County School District is increasing, so we expect a continued increase in the number of students who are at risk of homelessness in the NSHE system, including current and former foster youth.
Next. Next slide, please. Those of us who enact programs are grateful for the support of this board and the legislature. Though today's presentation doesn't give us time for in-depth updates, we hope that this presentation can be referred back to as a resource. Can someone advance the slide, please? Developments of note include the very recent creation of 2 positions dedicated to unifying efforts across institutions. The NSHE Foster Youth Ambassador will be a key guide as we all digest quickly evolving policies, co-develop tailored interventions, and implement the new foster fee waiver, which was unanimously approved by the board. I do want to especially draw your attention to AB 461. AB 461 was the bill championed by the late Assemblyman Tyrone Thompson. This bill creates a liaison for post-secondary education for homeless pupils within NSHE. It was the inception of this bill that sparked a deeper dive through the board and EDIC into the programs currently being offered at the different institutions. Our desire is that the board and regents, as well as state legislatures, will continue to work to fund this position, so that the work our campuses are doing can move forward in an efficient manner. Next.
NSC has integrated systems and primary points of contact to support current and former foster youth in obtaining the enrollment fee waiver that they are now legally entitled to. Hoping that an equivalent fee waiver is implemented for students who are at risk of homelessness, we will proceed in a similar fashion. By designating primary points of contact, we are striving to create a sense of stability and a culture of trust for students through building strong relationships. This will facilitate access to resources and help students overcome the stigma of being housing insecure. Next slide, please. Aside from fee waivers, most housing insecure and foster youth students are eligible for funding such as the federal Pell Grant and the Nevada-based Silver State Opportunity Grant. However, many of these students don't know how identifying themselves as at risk of homelessness and/or as foster youth on the FAFSA will allow them to access the grants and fee waivers that they are eligible for and legally entitled to. So our subcommittee is working on ways to support more of these students in accessing funding. Next slide, please.
6 out of 10 students who experience homelessness are students of color. And we know that every type of student we serve may at times experience homelessness and the increased risk factors it brings, such as poor health, hunger, domestic, and sexual violence. Nevada State provides concrete and emotional support through our care team. Next slide. Taking a trauma-informed approach, our care team serves 150 students per semester. These students are able to access mental health counseling, our food pantry, and referrals to on- and off-campus resources. Next. Earlier this week, NCHE leaders and stakeholders gathered together to assess the steadily increasing needs to provide specialized, dedicated resources for these students, considering the unique obstacles that they face. Gathering together with 120 K-20 educators and leaders, we learned that fewer of 3% of students in foster care will ever earn a degree. A key takeaway from the event was the importance of having a single point of contact at NCHE to streamline resources. Training staff on how to address student disclosures and work with students experiencing homelessness was brought up as an important best practice. Nevada State offered just such a training earlier this month through the partnership with Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth. Content experts willing and able to provide expertise. Next slide. All right, let's zoom in on Nevada State's action plan. Our committee has 4 goals for homeless and foster youth: to identify, recruit, retain, and support them. We've learned that recruitment involves partnerships, and we're working to improve internal processes and on-campus services to bolster outcomes for these students. In June, we're hosting the first college day, where a group of 12 to 20-year-olds will experience college life for a day. Once we get them to college, we want to be able to help them succeed. Next.
Next slide, please. Our primary goal is to aid these students in graduating. We have a wish list, as you see here, of things that we need to better meet their needs. We hope that leadership will continue to prioritize resource allocation for staff and space. Nevada State would love to follow UNLV's lead and hire a dedicated full-time program coordinator to intensively support these students with housing stability, FAFSA, scholarship and public benefits applications, transportation and nutrition needs, academic/career planning and success strategies, socio-emotional needs and challenges, and building a sense of belonging. So that we can properly identify and support homeless and foster youth on campus, we will continue to evaluate and improve our institutional processes, implementing evidence-based, tangible support services for these unique populations of students. Partnering with other NCHE institutions, Title I HOPE, CCSD, and NPHY, and with your support, we can develop a comprehensive and strategic response. Thank you for inviting us to speak today. With that, we will welcome our colleague Vincent and take questions after he's finished.
Good morning, everyone. Regents, for the record, my name is Vincent Nava, Program Coordinator of Community Engagement Diversity Initiatives at Nevada State College. Today, I am very happy and delighted to talk to you about our M3 platform. I believe we have a PowerPoint slide on that. It should be a black one. Yeah. It should be a black PowerPoint slide that has M3 on it. There we go. All right. So thank you all. And I want to share a little bit about what we have been doing at Nevada State College and what we are fairly proud of. At Nevada State College, we're very proud and cherish the fact that 76% of our students are identified as female. That being said, we cannot forget about 24% of the other students that are male-identifying. Out of that percentage of 24%, even a smaller fraction of that are minority male students. This is why we created our work in M3, and this is our students that we aim to serve. Next slide, please. Now, you're probably wondering, what is M3? M3 stands for Motivated Male Movement. It is a platform focused on creating a space for African Americans, Native Americans, Latinx, Asian Americans, and all male students. It creates participation through conferences, networking events, monthly meetups, professional panels, sports partnerships, and increases the overall involvement of our students. As we know, a more involved student with a greater sense of belonging is more likely to succeed. The overall and overarching mission of M3 is to create a sense of belonging, leading to recruitment, retention, and graduation of our students. Next slide, please. Here we can see the overarching umbrella program of what M3 entails at Nevada State College. It is composed of committee meetings regarding faculty and staff that meet together once a month to brainstorm and discuss ideas. We host events such as a Man Enough project. For the month of March, in order to commemorate Women's History Month, we decided to put together what we call the Man Enough project. It's in order to fight and address toxic masculinity. During this program, we had a series of debriefings. One of these stories that stood out to me was a student by the name that we would call today Miguel. During these debriefings, we talked about what it meant to be a man, and our feelings or emotions, and our experiences here on campus. Miguel never once spoke or said a word. We never thought Miguel was going to speak, and we were not going to push him to speak either. It was till the very end, where right before we finished the debriefing, Miguel spoke up. And he mentioned that he was scared to come into this event, but that he was very glad that he came, because for the first time ever, outside his family and friends, he was openly and happy to say that Miguel identified as gay. It is because of Miguel and stories like these that we want to push forward and create further events that create student access and a sense of belonging at Nevada State College. On the top left-hand side, you can see we have the speaker series, where Dr. Panajuan and Dr. Huerta came and spoke to us. We have partnerships with My Brother's Keeper, TRIO, Gear Up. We aim at an institutional change on our campus. Next slide, please. Now, in order to see institutional change, we're probably wondering, how is this going to take place? As we can see right here, we have the faculty leadership. They're the engine. They're the drive. They're the one leading this movement. We meet once a month, we create programming, and we do work behind it. We are actually laying the foundation and laying the track for student leaderships and student groups to come on our campus and be involved and take up this ownership. At the helm of us is our top leadership, consisting of our vice presidents, our assistant deans, and our established faculty that are in the ears of our executive team, and hopefully in Nevada State College, to promote more minority male programming on our campus. Overall, I'm very happy to say the work that we've accomplished at Nevada State College, but I know that it's not done, and we have a way to go, and we're very much looking forward to it. M3 is a movement, and it's a movement that has started, and I'm glad to say that it cannot be stopped. Thank you, and we're open to any questions. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, and thank you for these initiatives on behalf of NSC and the Scorpion community. You are really setting the trend for the future of what I hope will be system-wide. Speaking of system-wide, a long time ago, several years ago, we had the Hope Scholar program for homeless students, introduced at UNLV. That program is thriving, and through the leadership of the board leadership of Chancellor Riley and of Chief of Staff Michael Flores, we will now have a full-time team, a staff member working with foster students and homeless youth within the system, and we look forward to engaging with them educating them and learning from them moving forward for a long time to come. So thank you very much for your presentation. Are there questions from the committee? Regent Carvalho and then Regent Carter. Oh, I'm sorry, Regent Carter.
Just a quick question. So in the spring semester, did we see any boost in foster youth enrollment, or was that not enough long of a period from September when we approved the policy to January?
We did see a little bit of an increase with the enrollment fee waiver, and we have a process through several different offices, as I mentioned, to support students in completing that form and then navigating kind of the initial steps with college so that there's a sort of a warm hand guiding them as opposed to just handing them a form. It's a slight increase, but we expect that that will continue to grow even more based on conversations we've had with students recently.
Okay. Thank you.
Regent Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering about removing policy barriers. Have you identified some of those policies that are barriers to the homeless population?
Yes, I could. One specific policy would be that in the fee waiver proposed for foster youth and an equivalent fee waiver for homeless students, you do have to be Pell eligible according to the policy as it's currently written, which means that policy not eligible for students who are undocumented or documented. So that's one policy barrier that we hope to be able to overcome. Additionally, I would just say that while there is an equivalent homeless fee waiver proposed, as far as I know, that's not yet funded. And so we just hope to see that does get funded so that we can provide these expanded services to those populations as well. And finally, I know that the board is working actively at this time to fund the staff person that would be the liaison for homeless students, although there was already funding for the foster youth position. So we hope that both of those will be funded.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time and thank you for your insight. With item number 9, I think staff has a comment on this item.
Zalalam Bogala, legal counsel for Enchi. It's my understanding that the presenter for item number 9 is not present, so I suggest we pull this off the agenda.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions or comments from the board about this agenda or about before we move into new business and public comment? Seeing none. We'll move into new business. Are there any items that you would like on future agendas for this committee? Seeing none, we'll move into public comment. Is there any public comment here in Reno? Seeing none, you're all very quiet today. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas? Seeing none, is there any public comment in Elko?
No public comment from Elko.
Thank you very much. With that, thank you very much for participating. We look forward to working with you as we move on with these meetings and with the work associated with the diversity summits with HSI and Edict. And with that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.